Real game.
Sports Outside the Mainstream with Owen Grohman, featuring Eamon Sweeney, Brian Peacock, and Antonio Kruger. Now, here's Owen Grohman.
Here is Owen Grohman on Sports Outside the Mainstream, Friday afternoon, 1 o'clock. That means it's time for the show here at KSFS, the State, San Francisco. I am joined right now by Eamon Sweeney and Antonio Kruger. As the good voice intro guy said, with such a great voice, Brian Peacock's part of the show, but we're not really sure whether Peacock will fly in or not.
No, I'm going to say spring break. You know, everybody else is off, but we're here, we're pros. So about how many people would you say walking into campus here? About 25, 30?
At most.
Yeah, it was pretty bleak outside, but we're all here, definitely. We're gamers, as they say.
Lots of parking available as
yes,
well.
Yes.
Very
yeah.
Nice.
Sports does not take a break for a holiday.
That's very true. You know, spring break is like a college holiday only. It's not really a true, I mean, I think the U.S. Postal Service is working today.
I think so, too. I saw the maintenance staff here, some gardening work being done. Lord knows Muni was there, you know, various people. I mean,
doing their best.
Spring break is definitely, yeah, I'd say a college holiday.
Yeah. You know, it's been a great week, though, in that sense, in spring break, because I just realized that until today, I'd worn nothing but basketball shoes and flip-flops all week. I hadn't done anything. I mean, I was working at home anyway, so I didn't have to go anywhere. I didn't put on a collared shirt. I was wearing sweaty basketball shirts and shoes and flip-flops.
Your girlfriend must have been real happy.
Yeah, well, she's at work, so what does she know?
It's definitely good times. Everybody can relax a little bit. Yeah, the whole week off. I literally did nothing I just listened to radio all day yesterday. I literally did nothing.
That's why I'm in such an expert. He listens
right.
to so damn much radio.
Log about 12 hours a day.
I'm in case good. Your professor's listening, what about homework?
Yeah.
Thumbs down.
We were getting the homework done. Me and Owen had a study group with a lot of our class there.
It
went pretty well.
Peacock,
pretty well.
Lee Faulkner, everybody was there. From
it was there. It was yeah. it was pretty big. I was very excited for the turnout.
Yeah. We played some Scrabble.
Intelligence all around me.
Absolutely. Anyway, let's talk about sports. Well, we're going to talk about sports.
Yeah.
I sensed from our communications during this week that there is one barely related to sports topic that you guys feel you got to say something about. Obviously, it's the big Imus deal. And I'm going to say, for the purposes of our show especially, this is barely, I mean, just, oh, is this even related because
it's,
to sports? Because we don't really treat, because we are outside the mainstream, we're allowed to not treat women's basketball as a big sport for us.
Yes.
Not that it's not a sport, just for us, it's not something we care too much about. But you guys feel you got to say something about it. I'm leaving it open to you guys because, you know.
Well, yeah, definitely it's very loosely based on sports. The comment came from Don Imus and his producers as they were watching a women's basketball game, and that's probably the extent of which it's related to sports and the fact that ESPN is covering it because the game was itself on ESPN. I think it's very, very loosely related on sports, but the fact that it is sports, everybody's covering it. The fact that it's, you know, an attack on another race, on another gender from a shock jock from, you know, the 1940s or whatever. And, yeah, it's definitely taken a huge turn for the non-sports fan and sports fans alike. But I know, Ant, you got some opinions on it. And I think, whether you're not a fan of his, because I am not, or a fan of Rutgers basketball, which I am not, it will draw you in just a little bit, I think.
I can preface this real quick, Ant, that we do have the clip. So maybe we should hear that, and then that'll set us up a little bit better. And thanks to Eamon Sweeney for furnishing the clip.
So I watched the basketball game last night between a little bit of Rutgers and Tennessee, the women's final.
Yeah, Tennessee won last night, 7th championship for Pat Summitt. Man, they beat Rutgers by 13 points.
That's some rough girls from Rutgers, man. They got tattoos and
some hardcore hoes.
That's some nappy-headed hoes there, I'm going to tell you that now.
Oh, man.
Man, that's some...
Ooh.
Shameful, really. I mean, it's brutal to listen to. It's much worse than listening to Cedric Maxwell.
Yeah.
Talk about Violet Palmer telling her to get back in the kitchen.
Yeah.
It's much worse, but...
The repercussions are much worse,
yes,
too.
Yes, obviously.
I think Cedric Maxwell's still doing Celtics games.
Yeah.
He still hasn't won-up Tommy Heinsohn for the most offensive thing all season anyway.
That's correct, but the thing you can hear there is he never says the aforementioned hose word first. His producer brings it up. And we all know if you're talking to somebody and you know you're searching for the word and they bring up the word, you're going to repeat that word, whether you know, unconsciously or not. he heard the word first from his producer, and then he said it himself. Having said that, he's hired these producers in the past, and they've already been accused in the article we were talking about from 60 Minutes. Michael Wilbon wrote a piece for the Washington Post and talked about like the times he's gotten in trouble with his producers in the past as well. And I know, yeah, I think it's just this is not a first-time offense. He got fired for multiple offenses, and I think, yeah, this is the proverbial straw that broke the camel's back.
And let's just be clear, that's Don Imus of, what's the show called, Imus on the Morning or something?
Imus in the Morning,
something like that. We never actually said who that was. Obviously, we expect people to know by now. Yeah, Don Imus, MSNBC TV.
Yeah, they CBS Radio and WFAN, which also carries, I think, it's also a sports station
as
well.
Yeah, the fan is, right. So Imus, he got fired, and the fallout is what we're talking about. So.
Yep.
Yeah, it's on one hand, it tells you that your sport has arrived, at least in the real world, when people can make fun of it to a certain extent. You know, we make fun of everybody. We make fun of all the guys, all the sports. If that joke would have just stopped at rough girls with tattoos, it's funny, you laugh, you move on. No big deal. Where does the hose come from? And then nappy-headed hose makes it a lot more specific about who you're talking to. And that's where the trouble starts. The trouble finalizes with the fact that the man has a history of this. So he lost his job. I don't feel bad that he lost his job. Seems to me it's deserved. It's understandable. And I know that the instant sort of reaction to that is, what about free speech and all that? Well, he does have free speech to say what he wants, and he did. And your bosses also have a right to say, we don't like this, and we don't like what this does to our company, so goodbye. So as he's updating his resume now, I hope he understands that behavior has repercussions, and other people such as him maybe realize that you can make a joke, you can have fun, but you can also cross a line. And I can understand his confusion because as far as I'm concerned, he's crossed the line inappropriately before and got away with it. So he's probably thinking, you know, I've said and done worse, and he may be right, but that doesn't make last week's or this week's actions okay.
Well, another thing we were looking at, you were talking about the freedom of speech, the First Amendment rights. I think the misnomer here is for other people who are listening to his show or otherwise, it's more of a government-related deal. You can say what you want, and the government has no right to prosecute you for what you say. However, this is a private corporation who has the right to fire you, you know, on a whim. They don't have to have a government reason to do that. The reason why they didn't fire him in the past is I think he makes somewhere in the neighborhood of $20 million a year in all endorsements and his show and being simulcast, but he generates over $70 million in revenue for the company. This was a main, you know, dollars and cents type move. He wasn't fired yet, and he wasn't taken off the air for a while until, you know, all the ads started to drop off. They kept him on because this is still a huge money maker, and they were going to keep him on regardless of what he said. But, yeah, ever since, you know, everybody got hold of this and every sports team, and you had the Rutgers team have a press conference and everything, that's when things got out of hand, and that's why they had to fire him right then and there.
Yeah, I mean, I could make a joke and say, after looking at the man's picture, I haven't seen him in a long time. I see why he's angry. I see why he doesn't like the world.
Yeah.
And we can make jokes and have fun with that. Now, you start to cross a line and go into ethnicity and get more personal, then we would be out of line. So you can have fun, and we will, and we always do, and he has. But when you keep going down that route, you didn't make a slip of the tongue. You didn't make an accidental comment. That's who you are. That's your belief system. And corporations don't want that kind of belief system as their public face.
And hypothetically here, as I bring up another hypothetical question, which is the basis of sports radio.
There you go.
What if Rutgers won? Do they care as much? Are they still, you know, up in arms having press conferences going on all these shows? And conversely, what about the Lady Vols? I mean, they won the national championship here. I know it's still women's basketball, not a whole lot. We don't care a whole lot about it, but now they're left, you know, nobody even cares. If you were to ask people 10 years from now who won, all they would remember was Rutgers. So what happens if Rutgers won, and where does Tennessee fit in all of this?
Well, I'll answer those for you. 10 years from now, no one will remember that Tennessee won, except for Vols fans, because none of us could tell you who won the women's title 10 years ago.
Or last year.
2 years ago. Yeah, last year. No idea.
Because it's just UConn. Not.
Baylor? Was it Baylor?
UConn?
I think Baylor won it last year.
I know LSU was in the Final Four. See, there you go.
Is that Sue Bird on that?
Then we have a 20-minute conversation about who did and who didn't.
It's just not number one on most people's priorities. So, on one hand, Tennessee's not going to be any different, unless women's college hoops just changes nationally between now and 10 years. But I think even if Rutgers had won, it still would be a big story. It might even have been bigger because then you'd be talking about degrading the champion. So I don't think that actually plays really into it. I think that the Rutgers women handled themselves well. deep down, I bet some of them really do care and are offended. And then on the other hand, some of them have probably thought, I've heard worse. I don't even know who you are and really don't care to know you. So it doesn't matter. But whether they're offended or not, it's still inappropriate. And then you have the other side of the coin, which is kind of like sexual harassment in the workplace. Whether other people think it's appropriate, if the person who is the target thinks it's inappropriate, then you have an issue. The reason why he lost his job is because other people found it inappropriate.
Yeah, and I was just going for that in a case of insult to injury when you already lost, and now that, I mean, you can say the Steelers stole the Super Bowl, but they won it, they don't care. If you said this after they won a national championship, maybe they don't care. I'm just looking at that from that angle. And from the ulterior motive standpoint, Rutgers, you know, being on all these TV shows has just done wonders for their recruiting, probably. I mean, getting their face out there, too. I mean, there's a lot of motives here. I mean, I'm not going
to
be naive.
You really think a lot of people now want to go to Rutgers?
Well, no. Well, maybe the
to play with those.
Oh, don't. Please don't. Please don't.
Joking. Well, go ahead, Amy.
No, I was just going to say, unlike Imus, we're still on the radio. Let's keep it that way.
Oh, okay. No, I do think it's kind of funny, and you sort of touched on something that's in there, is that did these Rutgers girls have any idea who Imus is? Would they have ever heard that? Would they have ever listened? And, again, I can't put myself in their shoes. I'm far from it, obviously. But I have a hard time believing that they really themselves would care that much.
Yeah.
I mean, they're athletes. They're probably pretty confident in themselves. They probably, you know, obviously there's a lot to that. But still, it's just kind of funny how it reminds me of like a South Park episode. You guys ever watch South Park?
Yes.
It's just kind of – South Park always does these things where some kind of controversy will happen. And what happens is that – the Crusaders are the ones who get off on it and get all big about it, and they eventually forget what the hell they were doing in the first place. And the victims, the quote-unquote victims, don't really care. Usually it's those kids who are just like, I don't care, just want my Xbox, whatever it is, you know? So it's kind of funny how that happens where it's like the victims, quote-unquote, would they have really even cared if the media hadn't started a big thing about it? And like you said, Ann, I mean, yeah, it's wrong. People care, and that's fine. I'm not arguing with that, but that's kind of a funny thing. But I think what comes back into play here, guys, is our little corollary, if you're collecting social security checks, pretty good chance you might say something outlandish once in a while, and you just, you just shouldn't
care.
Have a nationally syndicated radio show. I don't know how old Imus is, but he looks about 135 in those pictures that we saw.
Maybe 64, 74, I have no really idea.
And the hair.
I know.
Gracious.
No, I know.
Well,
he
if you wake up that early for 30 years, I mean, how do you think you're going to look?
I think I checked him on Wikipedia, and they made a that in the 70s, he got famous with his shock jock styles, fueled largely by cocaine and alcohol.
Wow.
So,
and see, I always go back to the, you know, when you've got all these skeletons in your closet, why do you live your life trying to make fun of other people? I guess it's to distract from yourself. But, you know, what I want to see, if one of those girls really were offended, I mean, if one of them genuinely, you know, I heard it, made me angry, what I always like is, since you're such a big bad boy, say it to the face. Let's have a little one-on-one conversation. Because I'm thinking any of those girls could easily take him down, and I'm sure his producer too. So if you're the big man, Mr. Imus, do it. But like I said, now he's unemployed.
Yeah.
Now he has a lot of time to reflect. And you're right. A guy his age is prone to say things, but none of us want grandpa or, you know, drunk uncle such and such on the radio or even for that matter in front of our friends because of what comes out of their mouth.
I don't really think the Rucker girls are in his demographic. I think it's probably 25, 54 male. You know, when they probably said, you know, who's Dane Imus? You know, they don't know who this person is. I guarantee everybody on the West Coast has a, like, probably loose idea of what this guy is all about. And I think he's been irrelevant for a while. And, you know, for me at least, I have no idea. I had some idea who he was. But, yeah, to me, he was irrelevant. They didn't know who he was. It was people like Jesse Jackson bringing him to the attention. And that was to the extent. It was more watchdog groups who were up in arms who were just, you know, literally, you know, sitting around waiting to be offended by something. And then go on the attack, and that's what this was all about. It's gotten out of proportion. A person lost his job who probably should have lost it a long time ago, and now we have the Rucker girls who are offended. And I think I read this morning they have accepted his apology, and they hope to move forward with this. But, yeah, it was just something that I think, you know, relating to sports and radio.
That's something where I'm in the same boat as you, Eamon, where I'm kind of suspicious of the mainstream, and I really – there's nothing – I mean, is there anything worse in the world than a tattletale? You go back to kindergarten, the tattletale is the worst. And those people who are like that, who sit around just waiting, and you said it perfectly, the people who just wait for something that they can get up in arms about, and like I said, Crusaders get off on this stuff. That's what it's all about for them.
It's hard.
And this is a case where, okay, they got a case. You know, we can let that go, but at the same time, got to be a little suspicious of the mainstream, and And there's a piece of there's a little bit of tattletale going on.
Well, and that's why if you are a crusader, you can't jump on everything.
Right.
You know, I always say you can't cry racism or discrimination every time something happens, because when you have a legitimate case, there are people that don't want to hear you because they think, here you go again. So this was legit. Obviously, everything comes down to who you offend. If only the Rutgers girls were offended, nothing would have happened to Imus, because who are they? They're, you know, the losing team in a championship game that barely gets watched by anyone. Now, if that had been offending the NBA champion, the NFL champion, bigger audience, bigger money, all of a sudden people care more about who's offended. But because of the Crusaders, as you say, that brought more attention to it. It also, you know, starts to bring up those deeper issues of, you're right, his audience is more male, so by saying this, it's telling males 25 to 54 that they can call any woman this name, and then you get into a whole social issue about, you know, now it's turning into an issue about rap music, and all those other networks can handle those deeper political conversations. But who was offended didn't matter as much as who stepped in on behalf of them, and that's what brought the attention larger. Yet by the same token, I will say, when I see some of those people up on stages, I'm always like, I hope this is a real cause, because I know every time I see your face, half the time it's legit and half the time it's just you making sure people remember that you're alive.
I'll give you maybe 30-70 on that one, actually.
Yeah. Where I think we're all waiting for the South Park episode, which we know is imminent about this topic. But
very
true. from like a standpoint, I think Wilbon wanted him fired. Barkley really said he made a mistake. He shouldn't be fired. I think Stuart Scott, to the extent that anybody cares what he has to say, he thought he should be fired as well. I think it has been about 50-50 in terms of sportscasters who thought he should have been fired or not. And I think, I think it's gotten to the point where it's just irrelevant right
you
now.
You actually understood what Stuart Scott was saying?
What I saw?
He was offended as the other side of the pillow was.
Very nice.
Very good.
You know what I did see was a disturbingly calm Stephen A. Smith, who actually rationally and reasonably explained without yelling that, Imus should be fired. I was shocked, because I actually, a lot of time my TV's on mute. And I saw Stephen A. Smith coming up on this topic. Here we go. Here we go. Get out the recorder. And I turned it up, and he just very calmly just stated and made a really good argument. And so that's good.
How many times did he say, in my opinion?
Oh, man.
Or however.
However.
That's what he usually says.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll tread carefully here.
Yeah.
I don't want to spend, you know, I'm done with this.
I'm pretty much done, too.
You guys good?
We're
knowledgeable. We heard it. We knew it was wrong. We see the fallout. You know, we're wise enough to titillate on the line, but never cross it.
Yeah, we were lucky to get here Friday after everything sorted itself out. He was fired yesterday afternoon. He was taken off NBC that morning. So we're pretty much good on that. We wrapped everything up, put a nice little pin on it. Of course, this isn't the last we've heard of it, but it should be
Satellite radio. Here comes Don Imus.
Downward spiral. And somebody will probably hire this guy within the next 2 to 3 months, I think.
I'll just say, I love the released statement from the head of CBS, I believe. I can't remember.
Leslie Moonves?
Yeah, I thought that was actually very well said. So I'll
and CBS Radio has been hurting right now. They just fired their head of radio, Joe Hollander, before this. So CBS Radio is taking quite a hit lately, and this isn't going to help matters.
Are we no one's listening all of a sudden? I know we came in a little bit early, but geez, so we're talking of Media Matters here.
Well, I apologize.
Media Matters.
I didn't see her when I walked in, so I thought I had to make a nice little segue into the conversation.
Well, thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Anyway, KSFS the state, slow down.
What's our number again, Owen?
I have no idea. 415-338-1532.
And our email is?
KSFSSports@gmail.com, which I shall check momentarily. We'll probably have Peacock saying, I'm not going to make it. Here's what I think. But anyway.
That's two S's for a double dose of that, you know, sports stuff.
Exactly. Good point. KSFSSports@gmail.com. Eamon, something we talked about last week, I guess it was a little bit of agenda setting and how ESPN's running stuff. I had a little follow-up on that because it happened again this week. Daisuke Matsuzaka versus Felix Hernandez, the big Sox Mariners battle, that was on the Deuce, and the Magic and Pistons was on ESPN, the regular. So I'm wondering, are they trying to brand the Deuce, make it big, or are they just straight up pretending that the Eastern Conference actually matters and is fun to watch?
They've been branding the Deuce for well over a decade now, starting now as alternative sports. You know, put the X Games on it. We'll put a little bit of everything on it. I think they're trying to get more onto that. I think they're trying to keep ESPN, maybe like an MTV, keep it for Sports Center and big games and everything like that. But yeah, to talk about agenda setting, I fell into it as well. They showed this as Daisuke versus Ichiro, and of course that was great, you know, the first inning, but it turned out to be Felix Hernandez all the way, who was throwing, you know, 99 miles in the eighth inning. Francona was just, you know, was just crazy with anger because none of his guys could just see the curveball anymore. But, yeah, I think putting it on the deuce was kind of an odd choice. I think you got to put that in where most people can see that. I mean, baseball is just starting up, and I don't think the numbers will lie to you. I think you're going to get a bigger rating for that Daisuke Ichiro matchup than you are going to get for Magic Pistons.
Of the three big sports, which one do you think has the biggest idiot as a commissioner?
The biggest idiot has to be baseball, because Stern, yeah, Stern.
There you go.
Goodell's
Stern's product's not going to be on the deuce when we're going into the NBA playoffs. Baseball, 162 games.
Good point.
Basketball winding down, playoffs starting. ESPN wants to brand your mind. When I'm looking for the playoffs, I'm turning to ESPN, I'm turning to ABC, and obviously everyone knows TNT.
See, I'm glad I'm at. I can't talk today. You guys even know what I'm trying to say
here?
Well,
we had the spring break off, and then we're just sitting there.
I've been drinking too much Coors Light this week.
There you go.
I'm glad I asked, because that's a really good – another spot. That's a really good answer, and I like that. Perfect. Anyway, you started talking about baseball. We will talk about baseball at length. That Hernandez guy, man. That was one game where I was watching, and as a Red Sox fan – I wasn't even – usually when the guys aren't hitting, I'm like, God, come on, let's hit
something.
You're hitting something? Let's hit something. Come on, this is pathetic. But with him, it was just like, hey, I don't blame you. You can't hit that stuff.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
I think I'm in a fantasy league where somebody traded him. I'm not sure who traded Felix Hernandez for, I think, Matt Holliday, Rocky outfielder.
Still to this day, I stand by that trade. That was me.
Oh, that was you. Really?
Eamon's about to get on mute. He's trying to be clever over there.
How about that? I was unaware of that. I did not check that last night and look that stats up.
I'm waiting for Peacock to get in here so we can discuss. I actually made that trade with Peacock, and I will defend that trade because I still don't have a problem with it. And then, in fact, I have a pretty reasonable argument, I think. But maybe if Peacock shows up, we'll talk about that. It was Felix Hernandez of the Mariners for Matt Holliday of the Rockies, straight up.
Correct.
Hernandez was 12-14 with a .420 last year in like 150 Ks.
Yep.
Holliday was about 334, 114. You project what they're going to do the following year, even if Hernandez turns it all around and suddenly, you know, and pitches. Obviously, he's got the stuff, but he's 21 years old. There's going to be maturity issues at some point. Even if you project good for him, that's 16 wins, 200 Ks, a mid-3 ERA. You know, he's got to do it all year. Holiday, you project 320, 4120.
Yep.
I could use that. So it's a good deal.
You were dealing from a position of strength, yes, but
absolutely.
I would have not dealt Felix Hernandez.
I dealt him.
As
21 years old. Hey, listen.
All right.
I would say there's probably, and I'm going to have to say this again when Peacock gets in. I would say there's probably tens, might even go up to about 100 or more, pitchers in professional baseball who are good enough to put together two starts on the major league level where it's something like 7 innings and an earned run, or 8 innings and an earned run. Now, don't get me wrong. I understand that Hernandez, in terms of stuff, it's like him, Johan Santana, and maybe Liriano, and that's it. I mean, his stuff is incredible. But the difference between a guy who can put together two good starts like that and has good stuff and a major league elite legit pitcher is someone who can make start after start, keep winning games, and do all that thing.
Yeah,
and I project Hernandez to be a top-of-the-rotation starter this season, but I don't necessarily think he's going to go 20-0 with 400 strikeouts and a 1 ERA.
You stand behind those convictions, man. Yeah. You're like Brian Sabian defending his lineup.
Oh,
this is nice.
Don't do that. Hey, listen to the numbers. Matt Holliday had 34-114 last year, and he's in Coors Field.
I was about to
Rockies.
Say, you want to talk about what you're drinking. Where is he playing? I mean, in that ballpark, I just said I've seen Felix Hernandez being an A's fan, seeing him in the division.
I knew he was a good pitcher. That's why I picked him.
I know you knew he was a good pitcher.
Hey, give me credit for drafting the guy. I picked him. I mean, there were pitchers ranked by Yahoo ahead of him in the draft, and I picked
him. Yahoo
has
Liriano ranked like 400, so I'm not going to give you any credit on that number. But yeah.
Either way.
Yeah.
It was still a good, foresightful pick by me. Used him to add some homers and RBIs. What are we doing? We're talking about fantasy?
Yes.
I want to ask you guys one thing, too, outside of pro sports, because we got to take a break. Then we'll come back and talk about the NBA, NFL, Major Leagues for the next couple hours. But I had this happen to me yesterday, playing some pickup hoops. All right, you guys play pickup, right?
Of course, a little bit from time to time.
Okay, Eamon, I wonder what Eamon would be like. I'm very curious.
Oh man, I get the athletic goggles on. I'm the guy that calls illegal defense, by the way, too. Mm.
And he's like Ruben Patterson, you know, like kind of lanky, and you know, I'm the Kobe stopper.
Oh, Kobe stopper, and I do my dance too before I
can see Eamon fouling a lot.
I did not, you know, with that babysitter though. I'll have you know.
Anyway, this happened to me yesterday. I need a ruling.
That was
on
Ruben
this.
Patterson.
I wanted to ask a lot of people, so I'm going to start with you guys.
The most important people.
About the intentional foul in pickup basketball. Here's the scenario. 2-on-2, right? Play kind of a crappy game the first game, you know, whatever, we lose, no big deal. Pretty evenly matched teams, so I'm mad. and I want to win game two. And we got them. We're smoking them. They hit a couple of two-pointers, bring it back. Game point, I smoke this guy, get to the glass, I'm about to go layup to win it. Game point, it's a straight-up literal layup. I'm going to win the game. The guy grabs both of my arms behind and keeps me from getting that layup in there. Now, that's not okay in pickup, in my opinion, because there's no recourse for the foulee. The fouler could just keep doing that. Think about it. Follow that logically. You could intentionally foul every single time someone gets past you and eliminate the layup from the game altogether. There's no recourse. I can't shoot free throws. You guys have thoughts on that? Can we pass a man law right now?
Oh.
Can we break out a Miller Lite and pass a man law right now and say...
Well, now they're definitely not a sponsor since we're...
flip-flopping.
We're crossing the streams here to use a Ghostbusters reference in beer. But, yeah, I think... free throws seems a little amateur hour, Bush League.
Well, Newton, you can't shoot. I'm not. There's no argument.
I'm just saying. We're not gonna get there.
No
just
free throws.
Eliminate that right now.
Absolutely.
I think it's got to be, you know,
just gentleman's code. You can't intentionally foul. Yeah. That was on game point. You know what really pissed me off is that then my teammate gets the ball. I don't even get the ball back the entire game because my teammate clangs a shot. They get the rebound. That same D-bag who fouled me intentionally gets 2 two-pointers off of screens in a row to win the game. I never even touched the ball again after that intentional foul to stop me from winning the game.
We got to fix that problem. It definitely comes down to gentleman's law. I mean, you
exactly.
could say no intentional fouling on game point. However, now you get into that whole...
just don't intentional foul and pick up.
Well, now you got the whole thing of, though, what's intentional?
Yeah.
You know, now you're asking guys to decide with no impartial party what's intentional.
But that's why it's got to be gentleman's law. That's why we got to spread the gospel now so everybody understands. Just don't do it. Don't make it an issue. You know what I mean? If you get fouled, okay, it's pickup basketball. But when I am past him, about to go glass and win the thing, and he grabs both of my arms from behind, almost pulls me to the ground. My bad, bro. I couldn't let you do it. What? So yeah. When he's shooting that too, that eventually won the game, should I have just turned into a bowling ball and taken out his legs?
I think
my bad, bro. Couldn't let you shoot.
Taken out his
it.
Legs. Taken out. Torn his meniscus. You know.
I probably. I wish. In hindsight, I wish I had done that. I just kicked him in the knee.
You should have given him the kind of treatment Maggette got last night when Bynum went to the hole. Did you see that?
No, man.
I missed that as well.
Oh, that was a big game for the Bay Area. Actually, I didn't.
Yeah, that was not good.
Let's just say Bynum was going to the rack to dunk Maggette. Good job, you know, go up, foul a man straight up. Well, Bynum is bigger than Maggette.
Yeah, big.
And body, like, kind of chest to chest. Well, the whole knee and supersized thigh of Bynum greeted the private area of Maggette. And then, while in the air. So you take that blow and then fall sort of like face first. And the camera gets real close because you don't know what the injury is first.
Yeah.
And literally, he's like in tears on the ground.
That's never good.
And you see it and you're like, oh, man, what did he do? Like, you know, did he break a collarbone? And then you see the replay and it's great because you get Doug Collins like trying to describe it. And what's his name? Broadcasting just goes, ooh.
Yeah.
And then there's a moment of silence and it's like, we'll be right back.
Yeah, we'll be right back at that point. But we, you know what? In man law tradition, we need an old guy to write it down with a quill and everything. I think we could get probably Don Imus now, couldn't we? Get him to write a little stuff in the
he's
corner.
He's definitely got free time.
Yeah, we got free time now, you know. So he could be the new man law commercials for, you know, Coors Light or Miller Light or whoever does the man law.
You going to brush his hair too?
No, thank you. That's why he has a cowboy hat. Come on. Who doesn't watch MSNBC at, you know, 4:30 in the morning?
Apparently you – do you have it on mute while listening to the replay of us on the on the web?
That time is my own. No, but I've seen it for like maybe 2 minutes total on MSNBC just flipping through. But, yeah, I think this is a point where we try to go to a break, but we're stalling to wait before we can get some music or something.
No, not at all. You guys never – I mean,
well,
so
saying,
you guys are with me,
I'm
man
saying
law?
It was sour grapes.
Make your own life. Boom. Game starts. No intentional fouls.
And yeah, so, but that's the thing is I don't want to do that. Even at the time, I didn't turn around and go, hey, man, that's effed up. I was just like, all right, whatever, give me the ball back. Of course, my teammate then clangs the shot, so I don't even get it back. Yeah, I don't want to do that. I don't want to have to run into that. That's why it's so important that we do this now.
It's sour grapes on his part for fouling you, and it's sour grapes on your part for giving a damn what happened in the pickup game of basketball. I admit, if you're going to play these guys again, maybe you have something to say, you know. But
I want to win, and that's why we're talking about it's a moral thing. That's why, you know, we start with Imus.
And I say you make it tit for tat. That's how you.
So I should have kicked him in the knee when he was shooting that three.
Next
bucket, you should have slashed his tires.
Next.
That's not tat.
You've been listening to Carrie Underwood?
Oh, yeah. That's a good song, by the way.
What I'm saying is, we'll educate you on that. What I'm saying is, next time, like the minute your boy missed the shot and they got the ball back, even before it got to game point, guy comes off a screen, give him a little hip check action. Like, treat him like he's Ray Allen.
It has to be more. It has to be he have no chance to make the shot because that's what he did to me.
How about a little defense? How about that?
I played defense. It's my teammate. It was a pick.
Standing there with your hands up in the air is not defense, George Mirosan.
Hey, he didn't roll out there.
Hey, remind him, by the way, that playing defense is you play defense with your feet, not with your hands.
Yeah, no, he got smoked. Absolutely. Blown by like he just stood there.
And let's take a moment to acknowledge you. You blew by him.
Yeah,
huh?
That's right.
He was kind of chubby.
Did you cross over?
Kind of.
I don't remember what I did on that play. All I know is I got past him. I can play, man.
Gilbert Brown?
You're
talking
Brown?
That chubby?
No,
talking
no,
that chubby?
No. Not that bad.
Okay.
Anyway. So I'm glad you guys agree with me. That's a man law.
Man law.
No intentional fouls in pickup basketball.
We have to clink our beers right now.
Yeah, don't. Well.
We have water
we'll do
bottles.
Our best.
A bottle of Jack. You know, whatever.
Don't make it an issue. That's the main thing. It shouldn't be. I shouldn't have had to do this. Shouldn't have taken valuable time talking about this. But it's not my fault. It's his fault.
Hey, but the rule is set, so now it's established.
Absolutely.
Correct. So let it be written. So let it be done.
Well said. Coming up, the NBA. Some guys entering the draft. Ooh. Gets me all giddy. Talking about some of these guys going to the NBA. And some more stuff to talk about. Adam Morrison made the news, so it's always fun to have a guy with a creepy mustache to talk about. And, of course, the NFL, we got the schedule. Ant was so excited last week. Now he's finally got that schedule. Yes. And we'll talk about that. And Major League Baseball, all kinds of thoughts on that. Coming up, more Sports Outside the Mainstream on KSFS, the state.
Your favorite characters.
Why don't you get yourself a nice girl?
I get a nice one almost every night, Ma.
Yeah, but get yourself a girl so you could settle down. That's what I mean.
I settle down almost every night, but then in the morning I'm free. I love you. I want to be with you.
Don't just settle down.
Here on Sports Outside the Mainstream.
Sports Outside the Mainstream on KSFS, the state, San Francisco. What are we branding it now? Music for All. What is it? Music for the people?
Music for the people.
Sports for the people.
And I have my ID that says Sports for the People.
Sports
and
for the people.
Talk for the people.
You got
as
an
well.
ID? Where?
No, I don't have it on there yet.
Oh, okay.
Come on. This is me here.
Anyway, KSFS, the state, would like to announce that Mikey Told You So and KSFS itself present the first party of the semester. That's a very original title. Thursday, April 26th, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. at Element Lounge, 1028 Geary, between Polk and Van Ness, 21 and over, free with SFSU ID, dollar beers. Please announce daily.
I think that was like stage instructions, like turn it over to Raquel. Raquel, you remember that?
Yeah. Off of the, exactly, off of the teleprompter, right.
That's right. Donahue, we're not having him back next year.
Anyway, that's what's going on. That's a good party. Mikey puts out good parties there, And that'll be a good time for anybody who goes. So, anyway, good time right now. Friday, 1 to 3, Sports Outside the Mainstream. Every Friday. We'll be back next Friday. This Friday, the NBA. Actually, next Friday, aside from the aforementioned draft deal, that's 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
But next Friday, the NBA playoffs will be ready to get going.
Got that right. I'm ready. Predictions and all.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-oh.
I haven't made them yet, but yeah.
We'll be on.
All right.
Obviously, you can't make predictions now because
I don't know if you had.
The seedings aren't done yet, although some of this is a little bit obvious, barring something odd happening.
Right. Something odd going to happen? Are we going to have a fun last week of NBA regular season? Or
around here, we may.
Yeah, you know, I still believe if the Warriors win out, they'll make the playoffs. Mm. I still do believe that. I don't know if they will win out. They got a tough game tonight up in Sac. Sacramento's going to figure in all this, though. They still play the Lakers once, the Warriors tonight, and the Clippers. So if they were to win all three, they would throw a huge monkey wrench. If they win one of the three, the team that they beat likely won't make the playoffs. So this is going to be a lot of fun. But the Warriors legitimately have a chance to make the playoffs, be that 8 seed, play Dallas. If you're a Warrior fan, this has got to be exciting. And if you're Peacock, it means you'll be the only one of us that'll be right.
Nostradamus. But what were we talking about last week? The Tank League? If you look around the NBA, I wrote this stuff down when I came in here. Now I'm trying to locate it. This is good stuff. Garnett is probably going to be out for however long he's going to be out. Paul Pierce is out for the year. Korver, Iguodala are going to be gone. Kevin
Martin. Just turn that into one player, Korver, Iguodala. Kind of a cool name.
Korver, Iguodala. Actually,
did they have a baby?
If they only had proper names in Scrabble, we could have won last night. Our team could have won.
Think about that. Did you just say they have a baby? Korver, Iguodala. Ooh. Yeah. Anybody who knows what those two guys look like, that's a weird picture.
A big, monstrous, tall guy with a great shot.
You know, somebody with no tact would say that if they had a child, that girl would probably play for Rutgers.
Well, someone with no tact just said that.
Yeah, there you go. And Kevin Martin and Brad Miller for the Kings, or maybe out tonight as well. And then I think, yeah, Rudy Gay from Memphis. But, yeah, it's going to come down to it. And, of course, Brad Miller and Kevin Martin sitting out bodes well for the Warriors. But hopefully the Clippers – I mean, come on, Lakers, help us out for once.
Well, I mean, I will say, 82-game season, you can't get mad at some other team for not playing their guys because you've had 82 chances to do your own deal. I mean – if you're sitting here complaining about whether you make the playoffs or that you're the eight seed, in which all eight seeds minus one over all the years of doing this has advanced past the first round, that's your own problem. I was having a conversation with a Warrior fan on Sunday, and I said, if the Warriors miss the playoffs by a game or on a tiebreaker, what loss will haunt you the most from this year? And his answer was, you know, partially the game at Washington with the two free throws at the end plus the technical foul.
Don Nelson, yeah.
But the Warriors went on a run after that. So actually his biggest regret was the game in L.A. against the Lakers where the Warriors had the double-digit lead. Mm. They had a whatever 8-point lead halfway through
one.
The fourth quarter and then blew it. If they had won that game and everything else shakes out the same now, not only would they be ahead of the Clippers, but they would actually be ahead of the Lakers, which means they would be the 7 seed right now and would be almost assured of making the playoffs one way or another.
Hmm.
So, again, if you take care of business, you don't have to worry about, will Sac play hard against the Lakers in the finale? Will they play hard against the Clips? But you talk about tanking. Garnett not playing against Dallas, it didn't matter, but they still get blown out even with the Mavs not playing any of their guys.
I know.
And my Spurs go to Minnesota tonight, and with no Garnett there, that helps us keep up with Phoenix in hopes of catching them for number two. So
I keep seeing these scores, and the constant battle every night is a team that is tanking versus a team that is resting its regulars for the playoffs. Yeah. How's it going to go down? And every time, the good team just blows them out. Every time. I guess tanking, you're trying that much harder to lose. So
yeah, it doesn't work all the time because you can't go and tell your players that never get a chance to play, hey, we're sending these stars out for a reason.
Right.
There's a reason why you're playing. No,
they want to upgrade that scouting
report.
They're
trying to get out there and go. I saw when Paul Pierce sat, Gomes had 25. I mean, the guys who don't get to play all that often are going to try and make a name for themselves in this league. Not trying to sabotage the team at all, but trying to get his next contract.
Well, the Spurs close with a home game against Denver, which at this point would be who they'd open with in the playoffs. If I'm correct, Denver has just clinched the sixth seed with the Lakers losing last night, because even if the Lakers lose their last three, the Nuggets win the tiebreaker. So if you're Denver, you now have no motivation these last four games of the year other than to keep a little bit of your rhythm. Well, I read in the San Antonio paper today where Robert Horry was saying if that last game comes around and the Spurs can't become a number two and Denver's playing their backups, neither coach is going to want to show anything. Horry was like, I hope I play a lot so I can just shoot like crazy. Because all of a sudden now you're like, hey, this is a fun game. I might as well just like launch 10 threes and go to the hole. Just why not, right?
You're talking about Robert Horry. I saw in a box score, I think it was last night I was looking at it. There's a lot of guys who, you know, DNP, coach's decision. Robert Horry, DNP, old age.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know if it was just a joker doing that.
No,
or
they were making fun of him because he's had his abdominal injury, and they've been bringing him back slowly.
I got you.
Oh, and the fact that Pop won't play him on the second night of back-to-backs to keep him fresh. Maybe that's where the old age comes from.
Yeah,
and this is probably his last year. So
they probably could have described that as coach's decision in the box score. I'm not sure why they went with old age.
Yeah, Yahoo gets kind of – I noticed it a couple years ago. They get kind of specific of what the problem was. Usually they say abdominal injury, but in this case, you're right, old age.
So yeah. One day it's going to say like STD or something like that, and we'll be all in a player's
personal life. Well, then we'll see the Falcons run Mexico box score.
There you go.
Hey, now.
Golden State, by the way, the Dubs, keep it local for just a sec. Tonight at Sac, though, Minnesota on Sunday at the Oracle, right? That's what it's called, the Arena.
Miracle.
The old Arena. Remember when it was just the new Arena? How's
arena
that for a name? Oh, man. And then hosting Dallas Tuesday night, and then at Portland to finish on Wednesday night. So...
Yeah,
3-1 is definitely conceivable and probably likely.
3-1 will not get them in the playoffs.
You don't think it will?
Because if they go 3-1, that means the Clips have to go 2-2 because they lose any tiebreaker with the Clippers
because the
Clips are going to have a better division record.
Yeah. And the Clips, for the record, Portland tonight, and then
they
host Sacto, as you said, on Sunday.
Probably a win.
Then at Phoenix on Tuesday, which is one of those teams that, they'll be resting
guys,
but they can still win.
No,
Barbosa will try to will that team to win all by himself.
Well, if the Spurs keep winning and stay behind Phoenix, then Phoenix will still need – if they win that game, then they would clinch. So Phoenix will still have something to play for, theoretically.
And then the New Orleans-Oklahoma City Hornets on Wednesday night, which is a team –
who are still in it.
They're still in it themselves, so that'll be a little
battle. But by then they may not be.
Right, exactly. That's the last game of the season or last night.
If you're a Warrior fan, you have to say you got to win out, and then you want the Clips to lose – they need to lose a game. Your likely game is that game at Phoenix.
But
you finish a game ahead.
Clippers are in control of their own destiny here.
Yes.
If they went out, they got it.
Now, it gets fun tonight. If the Lakers go to Phoenix, and watching the Lakers these last few weeks, nothing about them says that they can win more than one game in any series. They go to Phoenix tonight. That's a likely loss. That would give them 40 losses. Same number as the Clips, same number as the Warriors. Now, they win any tiebreaker against the Warriors because they swept them this year 4-0. But they would lose a tiebreaker with the Clips. So all of a sudden, the Lakers would be the 8 seed playing Dallas. The Clippers would be the number 7 seed. It gets very interesting then, because then the Lakers are not guaranteed for the playoffs. Then if you're a Warrior fan, your hope is if you win out, you don't need the Clips to lose an extra game. You just need the Lakers to lose one. It all could come down to L.A. playing at Sacramento, last game of the season. And if you're a Kings fan and you just want to end your year on one high note with a home win, you could knock the Lakers out of the playoffs.
They still think they've got a rivalry. I think Kings fans think there's a rivalry there.
Well,
I'm not sure the Lakers fans agree.
No.
But
rivalries count when both teams have won at some point.
That was the famous Joe Horn line. You know, when we beat you five times a year, it's not really a rivalry anymore.
That's right.
It's just a beatdown.
The Kings kind of almost made the news this week. I found some kind of interesting with Bonzi Wells of the Rockets, who is not going to be on the team anymore. Kind of funny how Wells was offered a big contract by the Kings. He rejected it, and that's sort of where, I mean, he has been playing and acting like he's depressed all year long. And because he didn't accept that big deal from the Kings. Now, I'm looking at it from the other side. What if the Kings had given him that contract and he had signed it, and now Bonzi Wells was a big-money player on the Kings? Like, oh, how about Sacramento dodging another bullet? I mean, Jeff Petrie, so lauded for so long as the you know, managing operations up there in Sacto, but he has made some weird moves.
They're kind of a strange team this year. I think we all thought they'd be a little bit more in the playoff hunt than they are.
Yeah.
And after they played so well at the end of last regular season with Artest, and then in the playoffs, Wells all of a sudden became this motivated man, which makes you wonder if Houston's making the right decision. I know he hasn't played well, but he has shown in the past with Portland and with the Kings that when the playoffs start, he can have a 2-3 week stretch where he's just physical. I mean, it's like having this tight end out there that smaller guards just bounce off of, and he's posting up people.
And he can shoot. Let's not forget that.
That's right. And so Houston really could use a guy like that playing Utah in the first round, who's a very physical, big team. So,
yeah, I was looking at the Bonzi Wells, too. But, yeah, I think it was last year against the Spurs where he just had, you know, some pretty good games.
He was their
even
best
in San
player.
Antonio.
He averaged,
I
like,
mean,
38 in the playoffs or something. I mean, he was ridiculous.
That's the case.
I'm exaggerating, of course. It's Bonzi Wells. I mean, when I say he averaged 38, that means, like, 19.
But, yeah, that's the
but
case.
But he had a great series.
Yeah, but that's the case where you're either playing in the last contract of the year, all eyes are on you, and you're trying to get as many points as possible, pad your own stats, and then get your next contract. And wait for your next big motivation to play, whether you hope to be in an all-star game or even the playoffs. But, yeah, I just saw Bonzi Wells, and I just think he's one of those guys that you have to motivate him. He won't not motivate himself.
I can honestly tell you, I was thinking with the Lakers in the first round, you know, not a team that you want to see because Kobe's capable of things, and they at least were in the playoffs last year, so they've been down this road as a unit. And then you have Phil. That makes them really formidable. But the way they've been playing now, I think you would want to play the Lakers. I mean, Kobe last night dropped 50, and they blew a 17-point lead at home to a team trying to make it as an 8 seed. I can't believe how bad the Lakers have been playing the last 3-4 weeks. It really is stunning. And if they are the first-round opponent for the Mavericks or the Suns, they're going to get run into the ground. They may win a game against either team, but they are going to get run into the ground.
Yeah, I mean, it's a terrible team except for Kobe. That's sort of the unfortunate. I mean, is there even a second guy, Lamar Odom?
Odom is finally
he's
finally got his legs back from his injury, so he's back. You know, Smush Parker is
awful.
Smush Parker. You can't really say much more than that. I do perceive them winning a game, definitely a game. Kobe can will a team to win a game by himself. I do not think he can will them to win an entire series. I don't think they're going to go down that road. I think. What do you think the most favorable matchup is for Kobe at this point that isn't already, you know, set in stone, it looks like?
Well, that's part of the issue was if you were a Laker fan, who do you want to play? You're 2-1 against the Spurs this year, so you would say San Antonio. But two of those wins came much earlier in the year. Does that really carry any weight now? I don't think it does. You can play the Suns, and what you keep hearing is they gave the Suns everything they wanted last year. Well, that's true, but they played above themselves, and they got handed one game by the officials, Game 4, and still couldn't win the series and got embarrassed in Game 7, so I don't know where that gets you. And then Dallas, I mean, their one win against Dallas this year was back in November. So that doesn't carry any weight now. They also got embarrassed, their worst home loss ever in Los Angeles about a month ago against the Mavericks. So what I'm seeing is a team that can't stop anybody, that has a hard time scoring outside of Kobe. Their season began to go downhill when Rod Monovich got injured because he sort of helped that triangle when you would help on Kobe or help in the post. He was a three-point shooter that could do something. Ever since he went down, their offense is just tanked.
Yeah, you need your Robert Horry, your Steve Kerr, your Tony Kukoc or whatever. You need your three-point shooter out there, and they didn't. They were lacking that. I mean, when Kobe is your Jordan and your three-point shooter and your distributor, that's never a good thing. The triangle has basically one point on it, and it's Kobe, and it's been that way for, what, two or three years now?
Because Kobe wanted it that way. Yeah. But I will say I'm rooting for the Lakers tonight because the Suns' loss gives the Spurs a chance to catch them. But the truth is, if the Suns win, I enjoy that because the Lakers could actually not make the playoffs. And with Kobe and Phil there, that's awesome. If they weren't there, it really wouldn't matter. But with them there and their egos and everything, I think it would be very fun if they didn't make it at all.
Kind of funny, the Radmanovic thing, how much a player who seems so inconsequential can be consequential. Those peripheral players you're talking about. Obviously, Radmanovic's not even a Robert Horry, but it's not that the 6.4 points per game or whatever that he averages makes any difference in that sense. It's just the feeling you get of playing well. And if you any sport you've played, even pickup, go back to that, anything, Little League, whatever it is, you get a feeling for how your team is and how they are. And do we feel like we're going to win this game? Do we feel like we've got everything we need? Lose a guy like that who is important to that triangle, who can bang those threes, and it just it can change a lot of things for you.
And it impacts your depth, which if you don't have very much, now you have none. And you go up against a physical team like San Antonio or a team that will just run you to death like Phoenix. Lack of depth is going in a seven-game series. You might get one of those games in the first two or three, and all of a sudden you just run out of gas. And Kobe can't carry them. I mean, a few weeks ago he was carrying them, and they were barely beating nobodies. I think we all know how that's going to go in the playoffs. So at this point, I would much rather watch the Warriors in the playoffs over the Clippers or the Lakers just because they're more fun to watch. They score. They're going to give up points, but it'll be interesting, certainly if they play the Mavs. And at this point, after last night, I'd rather watch the Clippers than the Lakers because the Lakers, the only thing you have is this thought that with Kobe and Phil there, something magical might happen. But with the Clippers actually getting Cassell back, why not? You know, I think they'd be more entertaining. I really do.
I think they would be more entertaining team to watch, and Cassell coming back is huge. They got that veteran guy because the Clippers lack a guy who wants the shot at the end. Elton Brand, of course, would probably want it, but he's a low post guy, and they rarely go on that option. But ever since Livingston went down, he was never the guy to get the go-to shot. It was always Sam Cassell. But we're talking about coaching and everything. I mean, as good as a coach as you may be, you still need the horses out there to get it, I mean, to get you to the playoffs and get you there. I was looking yesterday, who do you guys – we can't really make predictions on the playoffs yet because they're not set, but who do you guys think the coach of the year is right now?
I still say Sam Mitchell in Toronto.
Yeah.
The guy won the division.
I wrote down in order Avery Johnson, Sam Mitchell, and then Jerry Sloan in that order. I still give the nod to Avery Johnson because, I mean, best record in the West, but, yeah, Sam Mitchell definitely in the East is still pretty damn good.
I'd go Avery, and then use this opportunity to segue Sam Mitchell. Because I wanted to talk a little about the Eastern Conference, believe it or not. Sometimes we do need to talk a little bit.
Well, someone's got to play the West in the finals.
And you know what's funny is right now, as it's matched up, if it stays the same, the Raptors would play the Wizards, which could mean we would see the Toronto Raptors in the second round of the NBA playoffs.
This is correct.
Is that weird?
For the first time since Vince was
there. Since VC back in the day, since he was Vinsanity, Mr. Amazing.
Graduating from North Carolina, flying over on the Jets.
Half man, half
that's
amazing.
Right. That's the year they lost to the Sixers in seven games when Vince had a chance to win the series on the last shot and didn't do it.
Right,
missed it.
Exactly. But that'd be pretty strange. Even though it did, you guys remind me, it did happen in the big scheme of things not that long ago. It still feels like it's been eons since Raptors made any noise.
Well, coaching is different and all the players are different, so.
Yeah, and you know where I think it starts is Brian Colangelo's in the front office.
But it could be the two guys the Warriors had. They drafted Vince Carter, traded for Jameson. Now they're both facing off in the East while the Warriors still may be sitting home for the 13th year in a row.
Good point, but we did mention, as we said last week, the Wizards without Arenas
and
without
Butler.
And Caron Butler, they look like they're chum.
They should stay ahead of
Yeah, they lost to the Heat, and the Heat didn't even play Shaq. So
a Heat, by the way, also without with Wade back saying he's not going to dunk because he could hurt himself doing it. James Posey and Gary Payton both facing some injuries.
That's right.
I mean, what are we looking at with the Heat right now?
Well, we're looking at the Heat being a four seed, which either means you open against Cleveland, which that means second round, there's either going to be no Shaq and Wade or there's not going to be any LeBron.
The NBA, I mean, they're going to figure something out to make that not happen.
Not what Stern would want to hear.
There's a four-game difference in the loss column, though. I don't think they can do much.
Then on the other hand, though, Chicago could fall down. Now,
I
think that Stern would be much happier with, even though it's a bigger market, with the Bulls team not being in the second round versus LeBron. But Chicago is pretty good. And, of course, the gentleman to my left predicted them going to the finals.
And with against the Raptors, by the way. I said Raptors, Bulls, in the Eastern Conference Finals with the Bulls
advancing. I don't see how you think either of those teams gets past the Pistons.
Well, actually, if things were to stand the way they are, they could only play in the second round because
correct.
You'd have Toronto as a three. But still, you would be right on par. One of them then, you know, would have a chance to actually be under the current standings
correct.
In the Eastern Conference Finals. I don't know. Pistons?
Pistons are going to walk past the Magic, first of all, if the Magic stays
in
the eighth seed.
But then you have a second round against either Miami or Cleveland. All of a sudden, you have a seven-game physical series, and let's not forget, the Pistons, older team, not real deep, they tend to run out of gas. They did last year in the conference finals.
So, I mean, so Pistons-Bulls, Eamon, you take Bulls in that one?
I would take that. For nothing else, for this reason, too, if we're going to talk about Miami as well, if nothing else, Miami may be a little injured, but they'll be rested. I mean, a lot of their guys were taking a lot of games off. I mean, Wade right now is only playing, I think, 27
literally
minutes a game.
Literally and figuratively.
Yes. Yeah, 27 minutes a game. He's averaging 14 points, you know, 5 rebounds, 6 assists or whatever he has. But I think right now teams are rested. Detroit's getting older. I mean, I think Miami could beat them. I think Chicago has the depth to just attack Detroit and, you know, bring wave after wave off the bench. I really think the Pistons might get out here, not in the first round, but maybe in the second round or something like that.
Well, certainly if they were to play Chicago, you'd have Big Ben going against his old team.
I'd watch that.
Yeah, and though I don't put a lot of stock in what happens in the regular season in terms of, you know, some young team upping somebody, the Bulls did win the season series 3-1 against the Pistons, so they're not going to be mentally intimidated when the series starts. Now, that may change as it goes on, but this has the potential to be a changing year. You know, 3 or 4 years ago, no one knew the Pistons were that good because they kept losing in the playoffs, and all of a sudden they broke through, made the finals, won the title, and our view of them changed. Our view of the Bulls might end up changing this year. Our view of LeBron could accelerate because he could carry a very average team to the conference finals, and all of a sudden
a Lakers-esque Cleveland Cavaliers team, yeah.
That's right.
I mean, if you look at the rosters, they're pretty similar in a sense that they both have, now one of them actually has Ben Wallace, the other team did have Ben Wallace, that's, you know, right there. Billups and Heinrich, more of a pass first, you know, Larry Brown kind of, you want to pass first, shoot second type point guards. I think Richard Hamilton's got the edge on Ben Gordon, but they're pretty similar players, like to, well, minus the three there. But, yeah, I think, and post presence are more shooters than they are, you know, in the post with in terms of Rasheed Wallace and McDice, they're more of shooters than low post bangers and, you know, get the shot up. I think they're pretty similar teams, and I think they play similar styles of basketball. And once again, just because of age and depth, I give the edge to the Bulls.
The good thing is with Jersey winning and Orlando winning, they may keep Indiana out of the playoffs. I don't want to see the Pacers in the playoffs.
Oh, Dunleavy.
You know, we've seen enough of Dunleavy and Murphy out here playing with the Warriors. They're boring. They're methodical. They would end up being swept or beaten, you know, getting one game against Detroit in the first round. It would be boring.
Dunleavy's doing pretty well, too, which is kind of odd to see in the box
aren't
score.
Aren't the Pacers one of your teams, though, Eamon?
Well,
I'm not even joking right now.
Reggie Miller fan, but I kind of was. That's my East Coast team is the Pacers.
Okay.
When Reggie Miller retired, so did my love for that team because, yeah. Steven Jackson, Al Harrington, Jermaine O'Neal.
Real quick, little stats for you guys on that Detroit-Chicago matchup before we do some quick hits on the bottom feeders in the Eastern. Detroit, 25-14 at home, also 26-13 on the road, so it doesn't seem to matter where they play. Chicago, best team in the East at home, 30-10, 17-22 on the road. Of course, Detroit would have home court if those two teams did match up.
They're the only team out East with a winning record on the road.
Absolutely true. So anyway, the bottom feeders I was talking about, I wanted to revisit the AI trade real quick. Kind of funny, the Sixers are playing about 500 basketball since AI was traded, which would seem to be kind of an accomplishment. Except that it might be the biggest failure of the Billy King regime as general. He's been one of the worst GMs in the history of the league, Billy King. And he makes that deal. And so the Sixers, what they do is accomplish nothing because now they're just a middle-of-the-pack crappy team. Not even below the middle of the
playing
pack.
Playing 500 in a weak conference.
And barely in the lottery. So they, at the time that deal happened, the Sixers were right there with Boston, right there with Memphis, fighting for that top spot. They've played just good enough now that they're in the lower end of the lottery, probably won't get a high pick. So Billy King somehow sabotaged the Sixers once again. He made just good enough a deal that the Sixers aren't going to get a top blue chip player.
Slap fighting for the last spot, not real fighting.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of funny tonight. We were talking about how head-to-head matchups matter and stuff. Kind of funny to look at it on the reverse. Boston and Milwaukee play tonight, and if the Celtics lose, they clinch the number two amount
wow.
of ping-pong balls in the lottery. So it's just so funny to look at it that way. Like a big deal. If the Celtics lose tonight, they win.
I'm just waiting to see the next guy who's going to be hurt for either team. I mean, we were talking about it earlier, but right now, I mean, who's going down next? I mean, they just want to get that Oden, they want to get that Durant, which we'll talk about in a bit. But yeah, it's getting to the point where be careful what you wish for. You know, we want this team to tank. We want our young players to develop. They develop too much, they might actually become good players and then take you out of that Durant Oden sweepstakes.
And of another bottom feeder with the Knicks. They got a little offended this week when they were playing Chicago. They got blown out by the Bulls, and I guess the Bulls were jacking up some threes at the end of the game, trying to hit 100 points because of
get the Big Mac.
And so they ended up winning 98 to 60 something. And so you had Steve Francis and some Knicks players all in a huff about running up the score and blah blah blah, and we'll play each other next year. And Isaiah's personality has definitely rubbed off on that team. For the better or for the worse, they definitely look at things from an old-school perspective, which is kind of funny for a team that's not going anywhere.
Well, I still file that under. We had that conversation about the George Karl Isaiah thing and about it. I think it was based on the Duke, North Carolina, the elbow to Hansbrough. I still file that under that same kind of category. Just, you know, get a clue. Let the coach do whatever they want to do. And running up the score, there is things that are wrong with that, but at the same time, if they lose like 125 to 100, that's one thing. The Knicks came out and put up 69 points?
68,
69. I mean, it's a shameful performance by them. And if the other team's going to run up the score, hey, you guys suck.
Yeah. Hey, if there's 2 minutes left and you're shooting threes to hit 100 for the fans, get over it. I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
Now, if they're up and they've already got the 100 and now they're swinging three-point shots with 15 on the shot clock and doing reverse dunks and dancing down the court, that's running up the score and showboating. Different story. Get over it.
And the obvious answer is, don't get blown out. Don't score 69 points in an NBA game.
I know. Foul them when they're going for the game-winning basket. Like, pick up hoops.
Exactly. What would Walton say? Make a basket, please.
Yes. But I love Bill Walton.
Yeah. But once again, I probably have to look this up because I didn't bring the stat or whatever. I think Nate Robinson tried to fight somebody else again, like, after that game. So
the Stats Incorporated provides information on Nate Robinson's fights.
Nate Robinson fights. I mean, Madison Square Garden probably feels the atmosphere of the fights or whatever, but he's trying to fight everybody, and he's in the wrong sport to do that.
Little man syndrome.
Yeah.
Now, getting back to sort of teams that matter in the NBA, as we do our predictions next week, we're all going to watch television, read articles online. Everyone's going to have their, they did this against these guys whenever. And they, at the end of the day, you know, those stats are worth what they are. One of my ones with the Spurs is the Spurs have only won one game all year when allowing 100 points. And I thought, wow, so the key to beating the Spurs is hit 100. So I looked over their entire schedule. They've given up 100 points 9 times total, if I'm correct, which is not very much at all.
No.
And they've now won their second game when giving up 100. They beat Sacramento this week. So they're now, I guess, 2-7 in those games. Yet when they give up 100, they usually give up right at 100 points, and they end up losing by 1 or 2 points. And so it's one of those, what does it really mean? And, you know, and I'm looking at sort of the head-to-head matchups. You've got, I think, Phoenix is 3-0 against Houston. Yet Utah is 3-0 against Phoenix. Yet the Spurs are 2-1 against Phoenix. And you really don't know how this is all going to shake down.
And that was your San Antonio Spurs moment with Antonio Kruger, brought to you by Miller Lite.
It's currently unsponsored, so if you want to jump on that, you know, our phone number
is... I had that
is...
brought to you by Miller Lite right there.
Well, where's product? We need product, don't we?
Hey, I got some in my fridge. Well, I'd have to be Coors Light, actually. I still got some CLs in there. So anyway.
We're waiting for
I'm letting Pop know that he should cut back Dunk's minutes a little bit. You know, he fortunately pulled Duncan and Parker out with about 2 minutes to go in the Kings game, even though it was still an 8-point game, because he was saying, we're going to win. I'm letting them get a few extra minutes of rest as we move towards the playoffs.
Hey, the moment already happened, okay?
Yeah, Spurs moment.
Come on.
Overtime.
It's not sponsored anymore.
Yeah, I know. I'll have a longer
moment next week when we start talking about the potential NBA champion.
We can get
Imus' sponsors now that he's dropped off. We can sponsor the Antonio Kruger Spurs moment.
American Express, MasterCard.
Head-on headaches and Staples.
Owen Grohman, Eamon Sweeney, Antonio Kruger, Sports Outside the Mainstream. We'll be right back on KSFS The State.
What in the hell's diversity?
Well, I could be wrong, but I believe diversity is an old, old wooden ship that was used during the Civil War era.
Ah, the lovely sound of paper rustling in the breeze of a fan. In the studios of KSFS The State. Sports Outside the Mainstream. Owen Grohman, Antonio Kruger, Eamon Sweeney, Brian Peacock joining us in spirit, as we are spiritual guys, as we mentioned last week.
I don't buy that, by the way.
Yeah, no. He's not here in spirit.
No, spiritual is just like, if you're agnostic or atheist, you pick something else so it still seems like you have some belief or something. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying pick something. Come on. Get off the fence.
Speaking of religion, how about the Jesus Christ lookalike himself, Adam Morrison? He's not really that much of a Jesus lookalike.
No, I wouldn't go there.
I think people were a lot shorter back then.
That was a painful attempt at a segue that just swing and a miss.
Oof.
Nonetheless, Morrison did flip off the fans. A little frustration from the former Gonzaga great Adam Morrison. Well, I'm surprised he didn't break down and cry.
He got teased for crying, so he said, I'm going a new route.
Yeah, so he flipped them off. $25,000 you get fined for that in the NBA.
Wow.
Yeah.
I did not see the fine for that.
Yeah, 25 G's, man.
President Stern don't play.
That's a lot of Nair he could have bought or, you know, something to get rid of that, you know, hair or something. But,
man.
Yeah, $25,000, that's a lot of cash for a rookie.
What would you do? I mean, with his face and with the potential for mustache that he has and the kind of hair he has, what would you do? What look would you prefer for
Adam
Morrison?
Here's the problem. Personally, I don't think men should have long hair, my opinion.
Okay.
But there are people who you say, oh, you should cut your hair or you should get rid of the facial hair. And then they do it, and you're like, no wonder you have that on.
Like,
because it may not look good, but it's still better than the other option.
Well,
if we do a brief breakdown of hair, Heinrich has the put the bowl over your head, cut around hair. Korver has the everything's everywhere. Who has the best hair for a white player in the NBA that we could go and say, yeah, that's all right?
Chris Kamen.
Oh,
oof.
Wow.
Oof.
That guy.
Man.
No. God.
I don't know. Who does? Who
has
good wavy
brought
locks?
That home.
I mean, Ridenour kind. Nah, I'm not gonna even go Ridenour route. I can't really think of maybe David Lee.
If your daughter brought that home, that's true. But David Lee's got a Jufro. What are you talking about?
Well, I'm saying comparison to everybody else.
Chris Kamen would be one guy who you would just never want to see on the street at night. Think a guy 7'2". He's got Hulk Hogan's hair, and Neanderthal face.
Yeah. Minus the 7'2". I've seen people like him down by the TL at night. Yeah, you know, we do have that here in the city.
But I think that's a preview for our next podcast for our radio production class. We'll be in the Tenderloin, by the way. You're welcome to join us because I'm going to abstain from that visit.
What you scared about, man?
Nothing. Probably not leaving with my kidneys intact.
Oh, see, reputation. It's just the TL. Everybody, it's got a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
A little something for everyone.
And that's what I'm worried about.
Just kind of funny, Mikey put together Knob Hill and Tenderloin.
Oh, yeah.
Tender Knob?
Yeah, Tender
Knob. Nice.
Oh, you didn't know that? Well, Tender Knob is like everything from like Sutter to about O'Farrell. You can kind of claim it, and after that, you're just hardcore TL living. Or if you're above
Bush. I'm going to go
through
the standings, find a better.
So anyway, back to Morrison, flipping off people.
Andres Bargnani.
We're talking about good white guy hair. I'm glad to see Dirk got a little cut going this year. He was starting to scare me with that mop for a while.
Probably
Stevie Nash used to have the locks.
But he has to lick his fingers and then put his hair back.
And I don't like when
creepy.
Guys wear those little $2 Rite Aid plastic things in their hair.
Dunleavy wore that for a spell.
Right.
What about when Dirk had the like the real like 80s flowing locks?
He did.
Yeah. I mean, it looked horrible.
He had some straight up American Gladiator stuff going
part
on.
Part of his problem
was
he went from that
classic,
to like shaved head. What's that?
I noticed in my spring break that American Gladiators is back on TV. It's on ESPN Classic.
Jeez,
at like
are there women involved in your spring break? Or?
No, it was Ice and Laser or Siren and Lace or whatever else, if that's what you're talking about. No, it was basically ESPN Classic the whole time.
MTV has a film crew at Eamon's house for
his
spring break. It's
there
going
you go.
Off.
There you go. It is awesome.
American Gladiator on ESPN Classic.
Let's see. Well, Brent Barry keeps his hair short.
John Barry
doesn't have
any hair.
Rick Barry uses Dr. Sal Rosanelli.
There you go. Very good knowledge.
Rick Barry is even. All right, never mind.
Man, who are
Gasol?
Wow.
I think you better go with the Steve Blake. You know, keep it close crop. You know,
that might be your best bet.
Yeah. Well, it always looks cleaner. Probably makes you a little bit faster, right?
Aerodynamics. Yeah. I mean, they probably get these guys in a wind tunnel and you know figure out who's the fastest and then cut the hair off.
Dirk looked way too much. Like he was out of 85, and then he shaved it all off, and then he looked goofy. It's kind of hard to have like a small head on a 7'1" frame and then shave the head. That just looks real, real, eh.
Yeah.
Short hair just almost always looks better. Like you said, there's that rare guy who has the Morrison syndrome. I shouldn't say syndrome. Morrison.
It's called diabetes.
I didn't mean that. That's the Morrison thing going where, like, oh, man, put that thing back on. Because it can get real ugly sometimes when guys reveal what's really going on.
See, he may have tried that when he was younger.
Probably
and thought,
did.
You know what? I get a little bit of action with this look. and I got laughter and no action with the other one. So let's choose the little route.
When you go with the Imus haircut, you know, you better be making $20 million a year.
Yeah, and have, you know, have a light out blinds in the room.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there you go. The cowboy hat, leather jacket.
Weird. Very weird. Anyway, we will return very shortly for some more Sports Outside the Mainstream. Owen Grohman, Antonio Kruger, Eamon Sweeney. And we will be right back. We'll talk about the NFL, that schedule, Ant. I know you're just jittery over there. Can't wait to talk about the schedule.
Love it. I can analyze that, man, like a zone defense. I mean, just
it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
On Sports Outside the Mainstream.